man, it's a great day for Baylor University. I don't think I've seen a concentration of happy faces like this in the Baylor family in a long time, and it's an answer to prayer, answer to a lot of hard work, and I think a blessing for our whole Baylor community. It's my honor as representing the Baylor Board of Regents to begin with by describing to you our 14th president of Baylor University, Judge Kenneth Starr. Judge Starr, if I wanted to read his resume, or for that matter, his wife's Alice. By the way, Alice, would you and the family please stand up? Alice's resume is almost as thick as Judge Starr's, but I actually need to go through his resume because it's important to everybody in this room and to all the Baylor community to understand what a distinguished, not only professional career that Judge Starr has had, but also what an outstanding life he's lived as a Christian leader, as a civic leader, as a political leader. I mean, the body of work in his life is truly amazing, and the fit that it means for Baylor is really special. I'd like to start with, you know, some of the scholarly attributes of Judge Starr. He did his undergraduate work at George Washington University, where he got what they call up there an AB, not a BA. Then he got a master's at Brown University. And then he got his law degree at Duke University. In addition to his education, he's also an outstanding and well-regarded author. He authored a best-selling book on the Supreme Court. He has written scores of articles and publications that I'm sure the Google world can find, you know, quite readily. In addition to being an author, as most people understand, he is probably one of the greatest lawyers of our time. His legal career really spans every aspect of, you know, outstanding legal public service that you can imagine. He was an honors graduate of the Duke Law School. He was clerk to Chief Justice Warren Burger of the U.S. Supreme Court. He was counselor to the U.S. Attorney General William French Smith, where I actually had the opportunity to meet him in 1981. He was judge of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit, which is a very important position. He was Solicitor General for the United States of America, which means that he represented the United States on all important cases and argued 25 cases before the Supreme Court. That's a huge, huge, huge thing to do. He was independent counsel for the United States, where he served quite admirably. He was a partner at prestigious national law firms, Gibson, Dunn & Crutcher, headquartered in Los Angeles, and Kirkland & Ellis, headquartered in Chicago. And of late, he has been dean of the Pepperdine School of Law, where he's raised their rankings 45 spots in 6 years, which those of you who are familiar with how you raise universities and grad schools' rankings, they usually move glacially. That's unbelievable. In addition to his professional career, he has been an outspoken Christian leader. He's a man of faith. He's a family man, a church leader. Kenneth Starr embodies all that characterizes Baylor University with his commitment to his faith and his family. The leadership he has shown in all areas of his life, and that style of leadership that he's shown, which all of you are going to come to appreciate pretty quickly. He's not only a great, strong, tough-minded leader, but he does so with a servant leader's heart and manner. And you cannot help but like Judge Starr if you spent more than 20 seconds with him. His commitment to excellence in all things, his vision and creativeness, and his burning desire to leave all things better than he found them when he first saw them. Judge Starr has absolutely touched and improved everything he's ever come in contact in his professional or personal life. He's going to be a fantastic president for Betty University. And at this time, I'd like to introduce Joe Arms, who led the search process for Judge Starr. Joe.
Thank you, Chairman Stone, for your strong leadership of the Baylor Board during this important time. Approximately 1 year ago, we began our quest to identify and recruit Baylor's 14th president, and at that time, we committed to an open, honest, and inclusive process. Through the diligence and perseverance and prayerful discernment of my colleagues on the advisory committee, on the search committee, and the regent board, we sought to attract a person with the academic vision, the professional experience, leadership style, and personal attributes necessary to successfully lead Baylor in the pursuit of her aspirations of being a leading comprehensive research university while remaining unapologetically committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. As you know, we are all unanimous in our belief that we have found that person in Ken Starr. Dean Starr has a distinguished record of accomplishment in the legal profession, in the academy, and in public service. Throughout his career, Dean Starr has been an articulate advocate for Christian ideals in the public square. Under Dean Starr's strong leadership, Pepperdine School of Law has achieved great success and demonstrable advancement. In the course of our conversations, it became clear to both committees that Dean Starr's success at Pepperdine Law School was driven by his commitment to the highest standards of academic excellence, and that he would apply that same commitment to achieving Baylor's aspirations in scholarship and teaching. In addition, Ken Starr is a mature and thoughtful Christian with a vibrant faith that truly defines who he is. He possesses a powerful affinity for and a commitment to the mission, the foundational assumptions, and the core convictions of our university. In short, Dean Starr has the intellect, the experience, and the Christian commitment to lead Baylor, and in doing so, to inspire all of us committed to Christian higher education in America to considering the synthesis of faith and reason that is the Christian intellectual tradition. Furthermore, Dean Starr will, I predict, enhance Baylor's academic trajectory of being part of the national conversation by engaging, shaping, and where appropriate, challenging the nation's dominant intellectual discourse. I'd like to thank a few people. I'd like to thank Dr. Howard Batson, who was our chairman who appointed this committee. I'd like to thank my colleagues on the committee who elected me as chair, to the advisory committee led by Ken Hall, their chairman, who has been a great partner in this process. I'd like to also thank Associate Provost Ruth Prescott, who kept the trains running on time and served us well. I'd also like to thank my family. My wife Kelly's here today, who sacrificed a great deal of family time to get this done. So now, Dean Starr, it's my privilege and my honor to welcome you and Alice to the Baylor family. I'm persuaded that you have been providentially called to Baylor for such a time as this. Thank you.
The search process took over a year, which is why Joe was making up to his family. And a big part of the search process was the advisory search committee. And, you know, the regent body is only 20 members. And so the Baylor family is pretty wide and diverse. And we needed a representation that encompassed that diversity. And Dr. Kenneth Hall chaired the advisory search committee. Dr. Hall is the CEO of Buckner Benevolences. They did a fantastic job. They worked diligently. They represented all constituencies well. And Dr. Hall, would you please come up and address your efforts? Thank you.
Thank you. First, let me say on a personal basis what a privilege it has been to participate in this process. Serving alongside wonderful and dedicated people has only strengthened my love and appreciation for Baylor University. My colleagues on the advisory committee are among the finest men and women I've ever met in my life. And I would like at this point to ask each of them to stand so that you might help me say a deep word of appreciation to their hard work. Would you please stand, advisory committee members? The process of selecting Kenneth Starr as the next president of Baylor has been an extraordinary experience for me as I recognized a unique role in the whole task. I wholeheartedly commend the regents for the manner in which they conducted this exhaustive search. They allowed us to operate freely, to offer opinions that oftentimes were not necessarily easy opinions. They allowed us to be independent, and they allowed us to offer what we consider to be an enthusiastic endorsement of the selection. I was asked to participate in this process because of my ties to the Baptist community of faith in Texas and around our country. Looking at the choice of Kenneth Starr through that particular prism, I can tell you that our new president brings to this task an uncommon and even uncanny understanding of Baylor's unique and distinct mission as a national Christian university with historic Baptist ties. He represents the very best of what it means to be an active churchman who, along with his wonderful wife Alice, puts his belief into action through his local congregation of faith. I've also had the opportunity to see Kenneth Starr through my professional lens as a leader of a large Christian social service ministry. And I've been impressed by his progressive thinking and personal action related to serving the underprivileged in our society. It is refreshing for me personally to meet someone who combines the highest academic mindset with a very practical application of his faith. I've also noticed in Kenneth Starr an unusual grace and humility. He is inclusive by nature and is the epitome of what it means to be a Christian servant leader. My prayers are with Baylor University and with President Kenneth Starr. In these unbelievably critical days that we face in our world and in our culture, I believe with all my heart that our new leader, with him at the helm and under the divine guidance of Almighty God, I believe Baylor is poised for an unparalleled and unprecedented future. To God be the glory. I welcome you, Ken Starr, to the Baylor family.
By the way, students, thank y'all for being here. You guys are really what we're all about, and our delivery system for serving you is our faculty. And Dr. Jimmy Diaz-Granados was the representative of the faculty, one of the representatives of the faculty, to our advisory search committee. He was a terrific contributor. He's one of the brightest minds we've got on campus today, and a gift to our whole community. Dr. Granados.
Thank you. First, I'd like to apologize to everyone over here on this side of the room. I was late, and I forced my way through. I've been told that I'm going to be late to my own funeral, and I hope for my sake that that is true. As a faculty member, I do spend a lot of time in front of a lot of people, but I have to say this is my first press conference, so I went ahead and jotted some things down rather than to talk extemporaneously. First, I'd like to start off with some thanks. And I'd like to thank my colleagues, the Baylor University faculty, who, through the Faculty Senate, put my name forth to actually Dr. Batson as a representative to the Presidential Search Advisory Committee. I was humbled then, and I'm humbled now to be here in that capacity. Second, I'd like to thank my fellow advisory committee members. It was an absolute pleasure serving with all of you. I immensely enjoyed the lively discussion as we all shared our unique perspectives, as Ken just said, looking through different prisms at a single problem was a really inspiring process for me. A particular word of thanks to you, Ken Hall, the chair of our committee. I believe I can say with full confidence that you worked harder than any of us and that you also probably didn't know what you were signing on for. And so having said that, I'm glad that you were in the dark or were bamboozled or somehow you got to take the job because you were instrumental in how well a diverse group like this was able to function. So thank you. And lastly, a debt of gratitude has to be set to the Board of Regents, and in particular to Joe Arms, the chair of the search committee. He was our main point of contact, although we met with Derry and with the other regents in joint meetings. But I just want to thank you for recognizing the importance of broad input into such an important task and for implementing a process that did facilitate it. So thank you for that. Now to the man of the hour, Judge Starr. Going forth in a process where there is such consensus leaves that person in the fourth position at the risk of repeating all the other things that have been said. And so because of that and the recognition of that, I'm going to keep this very brief. As faculty, through this faculty prism, there are certain ideals that we hold dear that we maintain are instrumental in the life of the university. And we recognize there are many, but I'm just going to focus on a couple that are that are particularly dear to us. Chief among those being academic freedom and shared governance. From our perspective, to understand those two principles is to understand the heart and the body of the university, to understand the function of the university. In addition, it's our bias that, and I imagine that all the constituents would probably come up and make the same argument, but I've got the mic, so I'll make it here. It's our bias that the measure of the success of a president is directly related to the success of his faculty. And so on and so on. Faculty success, student success, you know, all those things that fall into play. So you can imagine from our perspective how important it was for us to find the right person. I believe that we have found that person in Judge Starr. Along with his vibrant intellect, his academic credentials, his administrative experience in academia, and his consistent track record of success. As a psychologist, one of the truisms is that future behavior is usually predicted by past behavior. So when you look at his record and you see the level of success, as was said earlier, everything he touches has been a success, we feel that that is a huge benefit to us as faculty and as the university as a whole. And the fact that he brings a real understanding of the academic enterprise, and especially the uniqueness of that enterprise here at Baylor. Our enterprise is one I like to call a balance. We balance a lot of things on this campus and is what makes us unique. And his thoughtfulness, his ability to sit and listen, and again, that vibrant intellect is going to serve him well and us well as president of the university. So, on behalf of the faculty, I want to welcome you to Baylor University and let you know that we're poised to help and to help you succeed in any way that we can. Again, welcome.
Thanks, Jimmy. Our next speaker you really couldn't do an important Baylor event without him being a part of the event. Drayton McLean, CEO of the Houston Astros, of the McLean Group, and as of last Thursday, a newly anointed Regent Emeritus of Baylor University. And by the way, for those of you who don't know what that means, it's a lifetime pass or sentence, according to your perspective, to board meetings until you die. But Drayton is such an important leader for Baylor University that we wanted to take advantage of his leadership, his wisdom, his guidance, and we've invited him back into the regent body permanently. And so we could not possibly anoint a new leader of Baylor University without having Drayton McLean be someone to be a participant in that. Mr. McLean.
Wow. I wasn't quite prepared for that. Maybe you were just anticipating longer speeches and you wanted to stand up and relax for a moment. But, Derry, after you all gave me the honor of emeritus, I had several friends email me and said, you know what the word emeritus means? And I thought I did, and they said it means you're old. So I'm going to use that carefully as I go forward. In life, there are a lot of important things to do. Integrity, honor, value, how you live your life. Those are important. Behind that is leadership. 3 or 4% of the people of the world really get things done. And I'd like to compliment each of you, Derry, Joe, Ken Hall, and those that worked with you. That's leadership. You've come up with something totally unexpected. And you came up with a great world leader. We're indebted to you. In 1955, I came to Baylor as a freshman. Came from Cameron, a small town of about 5,000, hadn't been anywhere. And I walked in this Barfield room. I thought, this has got to be the most beautiful room I have ever been in, and the biggest room. And I thought, maybe this is the biggest room in the world. And as I was going through Baylor, if I got discouraged, I just came in here and sat for a little while, and it lifted my spirits. The beauty, the architects, the people who put it together, did something unique. I see additional beauty in today. In this dining or in this room, the beauty of the room, but the thrilling excitement about new leadership. So, Judge Starr, we're very excited about you accepting this responsibility. As was just said, we're all a product of our past, our family, the environments that we have had, but our real responsibility as we go forward is to hand off to the next generation better than we found it. And Baylor University has done this for over 160 years. But we're really in complicated times today. Life is not easy. I remember when I was a freshman here in the 50s, we thought it was tough then. That was easy. Life is different today. We need stronger leadership. And what you all have done for Baylor is unparalleled. Congratulations. Thank you for what you did, and Judge Starr, we're very excited about your leadership.
Probably the single most important contribution to this arduous process of the presidential search was the guy who came up with a name, and that was former Chief Justice of the Texas Supreme Court, Tom Phillips. Judge Phillips had a long relationship with Judge Starr, understood his talent, certainly had an appreciation for his legal ability, but also understood exactly how well this kind of leader and this kind of heart could fit into Baylor University. And for that reason, surfaced Judge Starr as a candidate. And with that, I'd like to bring up Judge Phillips.
Thank you, Derry. You know, it's always a little nerve-wracking to be the guy that came up with the name of the guy that's going to get the job. And I was a little scared about even allowing the Baylor Alumni Association to submit my name among a list of several to Dr. Batson for choice because of that fear. But I think we have done a job that leaves me with no doubt that Baylor University has done the right thing. And the two committees that work together in conjunction with the Board of Regents have come to a unanimous and easy decision that leaves none of us on those groups with any doubt that we've done the right thing for Baylor University. And I think it'll always be one of my proudest moments that Providence led me to walk out from one set of dull speeches I was in Washington to go over to hear Judge Starr be on a panel discussion about whether the Supreme Court needed to change the way it was organized, and to have a chance to sit down with a round bag lunch with him and just say, isn't it too bad you're still a member of the Church of Christ? And to learn to my very pleasant surprise that he had been evolving away from that and into musical instruments and other theater. And other theological discernments that had led him to an independent Bible church, which if it had to be put in a slot, would be called Baptist, at least we'd claim it, with perhaps a better right than any other denomination. And so the rest is history, and I think it is a great day for this school. I'm confident for several reasons that Ken Starr will be one of the giants of Baylor University. First is just the record he brings to this position. Known all over this country and all over this world as someone who has always given 110% to any effort in which he engaged, who has succeeded brilliantly as a scholar, as an author, as an administrator, as a lawyer. Secondly, for the last 6 years, he's been doing just what he's going to do here, but on a smaller scale, but in a very wonderful way, as you've heard, as Dean of Pepperdine University School of Law. And the scores and the rankings are great, but what the students get out of the academic institution that they attend is perhaps the most lasting and important contribution that a school can make. And I had the honor of going out to Pepperdine and being a judge of a moot court, spending an evening with the Stars and talking to a lot of the students. And it was a truly vibrant, alive milieu there, and largely due to the leadership. Judge Starr made this little campus perched out precariously at the edge of the world, about to fall into the Pacific Ocean, a world center, as those students were engaged in global projects to use their legal talent to eradicate poverty, to bring justice, to bring fairness to the world. And he brought people in, 7 of the 9 justices of the Supreme Court of Texas during that period. And if they're willing to go all the way to Malibu, I mean, Waco's only half as far, so should be no problem. And he was at a school which shares in many ways the mission that Baylor has, a goal to be a truly first-class, world-class institution of learning, while never forgetting our faith-based center. And a denial that you have to sacrifice one in order to excel at the other. He proved that you don't at Pepperdine, and he'll have the opportunity on a larger stage to prove that again to the world here at Baylor. And finally, there's just Judge Starr's personality that I think makes him the ideal choice for this time and this place. It is very hard to know Ken Starr and not really like him. And more important, not to feel that he really likes you, because indeed he does. He is a people person, perhaps without peer. He is an excellent listener. He is a good decider, and he is a marvelous communicator. This school's had good luck with judges. I see one over here, Judge Baylor, co-founder and namesake of this institution. And for those of us of a certain age, we remember another judge who served long and well as president of this institution, Abner McCall. And it's just easy, if somebody's name slips your mind, to say, Judge. I've seen people do that with me any number of times. So your president can always be Judge, and you're safe there. He will bring a dynamism to this campus that would allow it to go forth with its mission into the world as truly a place that, as has been said, changes the conversation. Rufus Burleson was president some years ago of this institution. His statue is on the campus. He wrote a collection of writings in 1904 that was put out, and he talked about Baylor and said, in 500 years, no doubt it will find its place among Harvard, Cambridge, Yale, and Oxford as the leading educational institutions of the world. Well, we're 106 years on our way there. But we've taken a giant leap forward with the choice that the Board of Regents announces today. And this is a great day for Baylor University, and I just well up with excitement at the person who's going to speak to you for a few moments next, the 14th president of this great university, Ken Starr.
This search process had no chance of being successful but for the environment that existed on campus, but for the leadership that was shown by Interim President David Garland. And David stand up. Thank you, David, for putting us in the position of being here today. We had a region meeting in Houston last Thursday, and we had a dinner, and our guest speaker, the CEO of Hewlett-Packard, Mark Hurd, got snowed in Dallas and couldn't make it, so Coach Briles filled in at the last second. And President and Dean of our seminary, David Garland, jumped up right before Coach Briles spoke, and of course Briles was, you know, talking about how we're going to move up in the Big 12 and where we did, how we did in recruiting, and you know, yada yada yada, and David had a great, David put it all in perspective. He said, Coach, I want you to know we do have the number one ranked seminary in the Big 12. Okay, on behalf of the Baylor Board of Regents and Baylor University, I bring you the president-elect, the 14th president of Baylor University, Judge Kenneth Winston Starr.
Thank you. Please, thank you. Thank you. Pro ecclesia, pro texana for the church and for Texas. At gatherings like this, and before I say my brief word of thanks, and I know I'm the last thing standing between you and a Dr. Pepper float, do you know when I moved to Washington, D.C. in the 1960s, how difficult it was to find Dr. Pepper? It's good to be coming home. Where it was invented, it's hard, Drayton, to get better than that. Chartered in 1845 by the Republic of Texas. Before this state became a state, this institution was by the grace of God. Chartered by a nation, the Republic of Texas, and affiliated now with the Baptist General Convention of Texas, you are in not only this beautiful hall, Drayton, that so impressed you as a young man from Cameron, but you're in the oldest institution of higher learning in the state of Texas. A round of applause for Baylor University and those who founded it. They had a vision. They had a vision of for the church and for Texas. For the church, Baylor's pursuit of knowledge, and these are words I didn't craft, but these are words that I inherit and that I embrace. Persons far wiser than I crafted these words prayerfully. Baylor's pursuit of knowledge is strengthened by the conviction that truth has its ultimate source in God. Those are powerful words. You could end the sermon right there and head off to the cafeteria. But it's strengthened by the conviction that truth has its ultimate source in God and by a Baptist heritage that champions religious liberty and freedom of conscience, which includes, Jimmy, academic freedom, which is one of the foundational principles of what binds us together. Freedom of thought. All voices are welcome to the community. We ask only that the voices treat one another with dignity and respect, and that we have a conversation and not a shouting match. And that means when one is established as an institution for the church, that one will expect freedom to nonetheless be ordered liberty through a process of governance, and that in the ancient traditions of the academy is faculty governance, and I embrace that. We need to learn as those who've been called to be servant leaders from our faculty and to support and encourage the faculty. And the one statement I made of significance, if any, to my colleagues on the faculty at the Pepperdine University School of Law in 2004 was, it is my vision of the role, and it's very simple. It is to be like Barnabas in Acts of the Apostles, to be an encourager. Now tell me, how can I encourage you? How can I help? Maybe I can help form a vision, but it will be a collaborative process, and then let's implement it together. For Texas, I'm blessed to be a fifth-generation Texan on my father's side because this great institution founded in Independence, Texas in 1845. And don't you love it that now Dr. Garland, entering freshmen, are invited to go to Independence and to touch the columns and to touch history and that great heritage that brought the founding generation together. But we now know, as great as Texas is, and I'm a fifth generation Texan whose family arrived in 1848, that Texas is a great home which then projects outward, not in any imperialistic sense, but in a sense of helping, of being a light to the world. And that is thus, and I read, integral to the commitment to God and to the church is Baylor's commitment to society. Texana or Texas becomes a metaphor, a precious metaphor for the entire world. Go into the whole world, the entire world. Whereas that, I'm reading from those who went before us, that society in the mid-1880s, 1800s, was limited to Texas. Today's Baylor's sphere of influence is truly the world. I love it when our chairman pauses and called attention to the fact that at the students, that's what it's all about. That's why the faculty come together. The faculty come together to be in conversation and to discover. And those who are called staff, I call us colleagues. We're colleagues. We're encouragers, fellow encouragers of the faculty. And our chairman, and Derry, thank you for saying this, and I wrote it down, when he called attention to the students, and he said, it's what it's all about. At Pepperdine, we simply say, for the glory of God, it's all about the students. And today I had lunch as part of this introduction to this beautiful family, this caring community embodied in this gorgeous and moving statement of mission, with individuals who you have chosen as students to represent you. And one of the most eloquent things said at the table, just in table conversation, it wasn't a speech, it was from one of your representatives, students. Baylor fosters a sense of calling and how to make that calling or vocation work in the larger world. Does that embody what the mission statement is all about? And so it does not surprise me, as an admirer of Baylor University, that it was here that the first student chapter of Habitat for Humanity was founded. It doesn't surprise me that in myriad ways, great and small, the students are engaged in lives of service, which is part of the mission statement. But I want to say that as we go forward in living those lives and preparing those lives for genuine service worldwide, but service, remember our Lord said, I have come to serve and not to be served, and we're to mirror that. That we cannot, in fact, forget the past, the tradition, the heritage, and what that tradition and heritage means for the future. Because they're great institutions in this fellowship that deserve our loyalty and our support. And Ken, thank you for all of your work and for all of the Baptist ministries that do such profoundly important things around the world. Let us give thanks for all that the Baptist community continues to do around the world. It is a vehicle, it is a mechanism for good works going forward. And let us not forget that, and we won't forget that. So yes, Dr. Garland, we're proud of that number one theological seminary in the Big 12. But you know what? That theological seminary is a metaphor for the great things going on here to honor God and to understand that all truth is God's truth and we're not afraid of truth at Baylor University. We're also blessed to be right in the middle of everything. We talked before with Drayton about, we're in Central Texas. Do you realize we're right in the heart of, as Drayton puts it, 26 million people. Soon, as our very distinguished Regent Emeritus, that means life sentence, Drayton, has said, will soon be, this is a far-sighted business person who went on to own the Houston Astros. How much are tickets on sale, Drayton? The answer was absolutely. Soon to be 50 million. And you know what? Because that's also at the heart of the Baylor Enterprise, which emphasizes what? Entrepreneurship. Do you know what entrepreneurship means? It means the parable of the talents, translated into vibrant, energetic involvement. Not what can be done for me, but what can I do to help build, because you know what happens to the one talent person. We don't want to be caught that way, and that's why I'm not surprised that here at Baylor there's an entrepreneurial spirit. Yes, of course, it's in the business school, but it's in the hearts and minds and souls of everyone who enters this community, and that spark is engendered and nurtured throughout the years here. It was said just earlier today, Baylor has a magical name. And that when you go around the country and you say, I went to Baylor, that has a great and powerful meaning. And so I pledge to you my energy and effort, such modest though they may be, in carrying that Baylor message, of carrying the mission that those who came before us framed. Yes, judges, I love it that Judge Baylor was a judge. And so let me say, I pledge to you my energy, my active effort in building on what our ancestors have built and going into all the world. And so let me close with a word of thanks. Mr. Chairman, actually, if I said Mr. Chairman, about half the audience is going to rise up. Mr. and Madam, I'm going to make that gender neutral. Mr. and Madam Chairman. But Derry, thank you for your leadership of the board. Joe, thank you for your leadership of the search committee. Thank you to those who served on the advisory committee under Dr. Hall's leadership. Drayton, thank you for representing the alumni. Chief Justice Phillips, this will perhaps be forgiven in the afterlife, what you did. Dr. Garland, we honor you. We thank you for your service, stepping in and bringing the community together. And to the interim provost, Elizabeth, thank you for your service. It is wonderful. I close with a tribute to my family. Would my family members rise once again? Alice, Cynthia, Carolyn, Cameron, Grace Elizabeth, and Brantley, would you be kind enough to stand up? We're blessed by our families. We're blessed by the institutions of which we're part and that shape us and frame us. Thanks be to God. Thank you for your kindness, for your friendship. I am proud to be in that long and ever-growing Baylor line.